Well, it's wonderful to be able to learn together, to be able to learn together with Rabbi Goldberg, who's still on for the last second. But I want to discuss with you guys today the sugya of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, the notion of that we are all interconnected, the notion of community. And the irony is that it's a term that you and I throw around quite frequently, but if you actually think about it and learn the primary sources, you'll see that while the concept is ubiquitous, it is used sparingly by Chazal, and it is only developed more in the way that you and I are used to using it colloquially by Rishonim. So what I want to do today, we're going to probably break this up into two different classes, but what I want to do today is first and foremost discuss some of the sugyas in the Gemara where we find this principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, this notion of Arvus, the notion of interconnectivity, that you and I are halachically and religiously connected one to the other. And then what I want to do is develop where the sources are for more of the themes that you and I are used to when we kind of throw around this term of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. So if we jump right in here, let me get rid of this here, because we do not need that. Hold on. It's not what I want. Here we go. Okay, so if we jump right in here, you'll notice that there are two primary sources. They basically mimic each other. But it's the sources of the prohibition against bearing false witness. In the Gemara in Maseches Shavuos, and a very similar Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, which we'll see in a second, but the Gemara in Maseches Shavuos tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that mitzvah, that avera, that prohibition against bearing false witness, so the world shook. And the Gemara wants to know, why is it that the world shook? If it was because, Ilei Mimishum De'ahasni Misinai, if it was because this mitzvah was given at our Sinai, says the Gemara, Eser Dibros Namis Yahim. So 10 commandments were also given. So what makes this Avera different, above and beyond all other Averas? Says the Gemara, Kol Avera Shabbatorah Nifra'in Mimenu, Vikan Mimenu Mishpachto. That all other Averas in the Torah, only the violator is punished. But here, in the case of bearing false witness, of a false oath, not only are you punished, but your family is punished as well. The Gemara then goes on to challenge that. V'chol aver shebetorah mishpachto lo. Family is not punished for the rest of the sins in the Torah. And the Gemara goes on to discuss that. And then the Gemara comes up on the right-hand side and says, V'chol aver shebetorah nifra'in mihem, v'kan mimenu umikol olam kulo. That maybe the difference between the prohibition of bearing Hashem's names falsely is that by all other averus in the Torah, only the violator is punished. But here, it's not just that the violator is punished, but that the entire world is punished as well. And let's pick up the Gemara right over here on the right-hand side. The Gemara says, V'chol aver shebetorah mikol ha'olam lo. Is this unique by this prohibition of bearing false witness that does not apply to all other averus in the Torah? V'hakasiv? Doesn't the pasuk tell us, V'kashlu ish be'achiv, that a man will stumble over his brother? Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Ish be'avon achiv. That a person is going to stumble because of his brother's sin. Milamed, we see from here, shekol Yisrael arim zeh bazeh. Oh, our first primary source in the Gemara, that we see that we are all interconnected. And just as I, a guarantor of a loan, is responsible for the debt, so too Jews are liable and may be punished for the sins of an individual. But we see that that's not exclusive to the Avera of bearing false witness, but rather it applies to all Averas in the Torah together. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, when do we see that others are punished for an individual sin? Sheyesh biyadam limchos velo michu. That's only where people could have protested and didn't. So I see you about to eat the cheeseburger, I walk by, I don't say anything to you, bam, I'm punished for the sin the same way you are. I see that you're about to, you're about to do Borer on Shabbos, and I don't stop you from doing Borer on Shabbos, bam, comes along the Gemara in Shavuos and says that I am punished for that sin, even though I didn't do anything. I am punished for a sin that you did. But, the Gemara says, what makes bearing false witness unique is that it affects those even who could not have prevented the transgression. Right? So bearing false witness is still going to be a level above. But what do you see from here? You see that when it comes to all mitzvos, the Gemara assumes this principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, that everyone is interconnected, that we're all guarantors one for another. And what's the proof that the Gemara brings from that? V'kashlu ish be'achiv, ish be'avon achiv. It's a pasuk in the Torah, says the Gemara, that I am punished, that I will stumble because of your transgression. So we see from here, this first initial introduction of this principle of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh Bazeh. As I said, there is a parallel Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, where the Gemara again is talking about getting punished for other people's sins. And again, I don't want to go into the nitty-gritty of the Gemara because I don't want to lose sight of the prize. But the Gemara questions this notion that I will be punished for someone else's sins. And the Gemara says, Velo, is it not the case that one will be liable for the sins of another? Again, our exact same pasuk, that a person is going to be punished for the sins of another person. Milamed, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Shekulan arevim zeh bazeh. Once again, that we are all guarantors, one for another. Answers the Gemara once again, Hasam shaya biadam limchos velo michu. Again, the particular avera that we were talking about over there, what made it unique was that I could have protested, but I did not protest. But once again, when it comes to all other mitzvahs in the Torah, seemingly, I am punished for your sins as well. Now, what you see from here are two things. Number one is a counterintuitive usage of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Right, in general, when I use the word Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh in what we'll call classic parlance, so I use it in a very uplifting type of notion, right? Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, we are all interconnected, and therefore we all have to band together and take responsibility for one another and help each, right? You use it in such positive connotations. What's so striking here is that the two primary sources in the Gemara are extraordinarily negative. The only context that the Gemara is talking about it in is a Gemara of sinning. And the Gemara uses it in the context of, if you sin, I am going to be liable for your sin as well. Not exactly the way that you and I use this prohibition or use this concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. And what's interesting is if you look throughout the Gemaras, you don't see the positive usage of it anywhere. You only see its usage within the context of chet, within the context of sin, where the Gemara is telling us that if you sin, I can be held accountable for it as well. Now, parenthetically, there is an interesting chakira, an interesting two ways of viewing this sugya of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh as it appears in the Gemara. In other words, why is it that I should be punished for your sin? Why does that make sense conceptually? So there are two real ways of understanding it and thinking it through. Number one is simple cause and effect, right? Cause and effect. In other words, I had a part in the reason why you behaved the way that you did. And as a result of that, I bear a certain element of responsibility for it. And therefore, if I could have protested and therefore did not protest, I bear an element of responsibility. It's cause and effect. Because I could have protested you're doing Borer on Shabbos, and I did not protest you're doing Borer on Shabbos, so the effect of that is that I bear a certain level of responsibility for you doing Borer on Shabbos. That's way number one of viewing this entire sugya. Again, cause and effect. Now, interesting, that's a very narrow definition of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Because it limits this definition to what? It limits this definition to cases where I could have protested but I didn't. If I could not have protested, so the cause and effect would never start. Again, the cause is I could have protested. The effect is because I didn't, I'm therefore liable for your transgressions, even though I didn't do anything at all. Now that only works if I could have protested. If I didn't have an opportunity to protest, why should I be liable? Right? If Rabbi Shabtai does Borer on Shabbos, or Rabbi Shabtai goes and eats a cheeseburger, and I'm off on a vacation in Bora Bora, so why should I be responsible? I'm glad I got a good chuckle out of some of you there, right? Why should I be responsible for Rabbi Shabtai eating a cheeseburger in Boca Raton while I'm sitting in Bora? Now, I could be responsible and liable for other things in Bora Bora, but assuming that I'm doing everything Gedas U'Gedin, right? So why should I be responsible for Rabbi Shabtai doing something wrong here in Boca Raton, Florida? That's what I'll call understanding A, of how you view this topic of Kol Yisrael Rei Mezeh Bazeh. Understanding B would be a little bit different, which says that we are all interconnected, right? You and I need a connection in order for Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bazeh to kick in. It doesn't have to be in the form of me being able to protest. There just has to be some connection between me and you. So if John Doe in Wisconsin does Borer on Shabbos, and I've never met John Doe, and I'm not Facebook friends with John Doe, and I've never encountered John Doe, why in the world should I be responsible for what John Doe does? However, if someone in my community, Ruvain, who lives in BRS, does Borer on Shabbos, I may not have had the chance to protest it. But the fact that Ruvain lives in my community, and therefore I am connected to him, means that I bear a level of responsibility for the way that Ruvain behaves. Now, those might sound similar, but they're actually very, very different. Again, option number one of how to view this chakira is cause and effect, right? And therefore, it's limited. It's a very narrow definition, but it's limited to cases where I could have protested and I didn't. Option number two says, you and I just need a linkage. We need some connection. Now, we can formulate that connection in a number of ways. Number one is, V'haya biyado limchos velomichu. I could have protested, I didn't. That's my connection to you, right? Or it could just be as simple as you live in my community, and therefore the cultural norms and the values that are cultivated in my community, I bear responsibility for them, right? The way my child dresses on Shabbos impacts the way your child dresses on Shabbos, right? So we have a connection. I may not have ever had a chance to protest, but you and I have a connection. Once we have that connection, that means Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazet. Let's see one more source, and then we'll start to develop some more of the options that you and I are used to. And this comes from another Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara quotes the famous pasuk, "Avanistaros laHashem Elokeinu, veaniglos lanu ulavanenu ad olam," that the hidden sins are for Hashem, but the public sins are for us and our children for eternity. And the Gemara wants to know why there are special dots, if you ever look in the Torah, on the top of the words of Lanu Ulavanenu. And the Gemara has a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemia. Rav Yehuda says that those dots are there to teach us, Milamed shelo anosh al nistaros ad sheyavru, Yisrael aseyardin, that the Klal Yisrael were only going to be punished for sins that were done in private once they crossed the Jordan River. Rav Nechemia comes along and says, right? V'chi anash al nistaros la'olam. Right? Will God always punish the Jewish people for sins done by an individual? Doesn't it say ad olam? Ela k'shem shelo anash al nistaros, kach lo anash al onshin shebagaloi ad sheyavru Yisrael seyardin. In other words, it's just teaching me that I'm not liable for anything, public or private, until they cross the yardin. But what do you see from either the opinion of Rav Yehuda or the opinion of Rav Nechemia? That once we cross the Yarden, what happens immediately, right? Once I cross the Yarden, it becomes very clear. Then what happens? I am liable for the Nistarot. I am liable for sins that an individual does in private. Now, why should that work? Isn't that counterintuitive? That something that Reuven does in the privacy of his own home, I am going to be liable for. I'm going to have to bear a certain level of responsibility for. Why does that make any sense? And the answer is, well, let's view it the two ways that we viewed it. If it's Shahaya biyado limchos velo michu, that I could have protested and I didn't. So what the cause and effect would look like here is that I am responsible for the culture that's created, right? The cause is that I should have created a better culture that didn't lead you to do Borer on Shabbos. That's the cause and that's the fact. If you view it in a wider terms, right, that there's just this interconnectivity between us, well, then it becomes very clear, right? Because what is it about crossing the Yarden? It's that once Klal Yisrael cross the Yarden, what do we become? We become a tzibur. We become a community. And the second we become a community, then what happens to us? We automatically become connected. Which means that even if Reuven does a sin, and I really don't see it happening, and I don't even have a chance to protest against it. But the moment that Reuven and I enter into this covenant called Klal Yisrael, the moment we cross the yard and we enter into Eretz Yisrael, so something amazing happens. And that is that Reuven and I become family, right? We become family. So however you view it, right, whether it's that limited cause and effect, or what I'll call like a more maximal approach to it, which is to say that there is that base level of interconnectivity, which we see from the Gemara in Sanhedrin was established either according to Rav Yehuda or according to Nehemiah, the second Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. So something amazing happens, and that is that you and I become obligated in each other's sins. Now, both approaches that we saw up until now, right, all three Gemaras, where we saw the application of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. So what is amazing about all of it is what? What's amazing about all of it is that it's used in the context of sin. It's used in the context of chet. Not normally the way that you and I would assume that it's being used. Now, the classic example of this is the story in Sefer Yehoshua, in the story of Achan. Right, of course, in the sixth chapter, I think it's the parak before this, yeah. So the Jewish people go to war, or it's this chapter, the Jewish people go to war, and of course they're told not to touch any of the spoils of war, and then in the very next story, they go and they do battle with Ai, and of course what happens, the Jewish people are massacred. And Yehoshua is so distraught, he can't understand how it happens. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10, Vayomer Adonai El Yehoshua, Kum Lach, get up. Lama ze'ata nofel panecha? Why have you fallen on your face? Chata Yisrael, the Jewish people have sinned. Vigam avru es brisi asher sivisi asam, and they violated the covenant. Vigam lachum in acherim, vigam ganvu, vigam kichashu, vigam samu bichlehem. Right, they did everything I told them not to do. They took of the spoils of the booty of war. They're told they're not supposed to do that. So what's amazing, and it's the obvious question, and we've spoken about this in many other contexts, right? How can Hashem say to Yehoshua, Chata Yisrael? How could Hashem tell Yehoshua that the entire Jewish people sinned? Is that the case? Clearly it's not the case, right? Who sins here? Achan, as we find out, as a result of the lottery. And yet, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Chata Yisrael. The Jewish people sinned. How do you understand that? So if you look in the Mitzvot David right there, he says, right, af sheish echad chata, even though one person sinned, mikol makom al shelo shamru zed ze, ma'ale aleim akasav kilu kulam chatu. What should have they done? They should have created a culture where they're protecting each other. Right, they should have put in a culture where they're preventing each other from accidentally sinning. And so therefore, says the Mitzvot David, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Chata Yisrael, that the entire Jewish people sinned? It's because you and I are responsible for another. We have to create cultures where certain things don't happen. We have to put in safeguards to ensure that certain things don't happen. So just to use a blunt excuse, right, example, right? If you do something wrong, you look at an image on the computer, I bear responsibility because I'm part of a culture where that is acceptable. And where that becomes the norm. And as long as I'm part of that culture, I bear responsibility for it. So this is the most obvious example of Chata Yisrael, right? The entire Jewish people sinned, even though it was only one person who actually created the chet, or conducted the chet. Now again, as I've been pointing out up until now, all the examples that we have referenced up until now are examples of chet. They're examples of sin. And why is that? That of all the examples in the Gemaras that have to do with Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, have to do with sin, why is it that you and I have this almost utopian description of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh? We have this almost fantastical description of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, so much so that all of us would agree that it's ubiquitous, right? We need an example of why we have to take care of Jews in Thailand, we would say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, we all bear mutual responsibility. So where does that come into our lexicon? And how does that idea develop? So if you look in source number 4, the Avos Derav Nasan has what I think is the clearest description of this notion of what I'll call Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh 2.0, Right? Kol Yisrael Arim Zavazeh 1.0 is in the Gemara. It's limited to sin. If you sin, I'm responsible for your sin. Kol Yisrael Arim Zavazeh 2.0 is found in the Rishonim. It's found in the Midrashim. And the clearest example is the image that I have for you on my screen, and I hope you appreciate the image. But it's of a sinking boat. Says the Avostor of Nassan, if there's a hole in one side of the boat, and I am on the other side of the boat, am I spared? No, of course not, right? Only an idiot, only a fool would think that, right? If there's a problem on one side of the boat, then I am impacted on the other side of the boat. Says the Avostor of Nassan, we're all in the boat together, right? What we assume as an English euphemism, says the Avostor, is actually found in the Avostor of Nassan. He says, Shekol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, V'lama hein domen, what are we compared to? L'sfina shenikra ba, bais echad, right, that a boat that has a hole on one side, ein omrim nikra ba, bais echad, ela kol asfina nikra kula, right, we don't say that, oh, it's just that side that has a problem. No, the whole boat is up a creek. The whole boat is about to sink. Kach heim Yisrael, says the Avostor of Nassan, so too it goes by Klal Yisrael, and then he quotes our story of Achan, right? So again, to me, that's the clearest description, but what's interesting is, you find in Avostor of Nassan, that's a description I would assume I would find in the Gemara itself, but it's a description that we find in Avostor of Nassan, which again, if we had to describe it, it would be, we are all in the boat together. And therefore, if there's a problem with Jews in California, there's a problem with Jews in Florida. And if there's a problem with Jews in New York, there's a problem with Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Kol Yisrael Arim Zebazeh, we're all in the boat together. And if there's a hole in one boat, part of the boat, then there's a hole in all parts of the boat. The Sefer HaBris has what I'll call more of a, what's a good word for it? A practical description of Kol Yisrael Arim Zebazeh. And it goes as follows. We know, that each mitzvah corresponds to a limb, right? Ramach, Averav, Ushasa, Gidav, that all of the mitzvos asei, mitzvos lo asei, they correspond to the limbs, to the sinews, to the parts of our body. And Kabbalistically, we believe that each mitzvah that we do elevates that part of the body. So when I do a mitzvah with my hand, I bring Kedusha to my hand. When I do mitzvah with my head, with my brain, I bring Kedusha to my brain. Says the Sefer HaBris, that's a very beautiful idea conceptually, but practically, how does it work? Right? Philip Moskowitz is limited in what mitzvahs I can do. There are certain mitzvahs that no matter how badly I want it, and no matter how hard I try, I simply will not be able to fulfill. For example, I'm not a Kohen. I cannot do Berachas Kohanim. I cannot do Pidyon HaBet. Right? There are certain mitzvahs that I cannot do because of the fact that I am a Yisrael. Right? Other people, right? And again, we all know the examples. Says the Sefer HaBris, so how do I fulfill Kol Torah Kula? How do I elevate and redeem all my body parts? He says, V'im Tomer, Eich Efshar Lo La'adam, Lahashlim Ramach Evarei Nafsho. How does a person become complete then? Halo Harbe Mitzvos Asei, Efshar Lo La'kayman. Right? Aren't there many Mitzvos Asei that are simply impossible for me to fulfill? I don't live in Eretz Yisrael right now. Trumos, Maestros, right? There are lots of things I can't do. Kimi She'ein Lo Ben, Eichim also. Person never has a son, he can't do bris milah. Ve'ichif de beno b'choro. V'chein mitzvos ha-melech ve'akoin. U'beprap is man hazeh chikai mitzvos ha-tulis ba'aretz. How do I fulfill the mitzvos ha-tulis ba'aretz? I can, right? Al zeh ta'an l'shoni imrascha ki eila mitzvos shalo ba'ili liyado mi'irim b'chol avareim ha-nefesh ha-miyuchasim lehem atzman. Then how do I fulfill that? Right? U'ma shekayim lem Yisrael achar ola lo mino, kilu kaim kol ki kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh. Says the Sefer HaBris, it's very simple, that Philip Moskowitz alone can't fulfill all the mitzvos. But Philip Moskowitz, as part of Klal Yisrael, certainly can fulfill the mitzvos. What's that a nice way of saying? That's a nice way of saying the sum is greater than, right, the whole is greater than the sum of the individual parts. That as an individual, I'm limited. But as a whole, when I connect myself to something much bigger than myself, now the whole is much greater, right? It's not 1 plus 1 is 2, but it's 1 plus 1 is 613, or 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 613. That all, by our powers combined, as the Power Rangers were wont to say, but as our powers combined, you and I are capable of fulfilling Kol HaTorah Kula and all the mitzvahs in the Torah, and therefore we are able to elevate our entire body. Okay? So what I showed for you so far is that while you and I always assumed that this concept of Kol Yisrael Arei Mezeh Vezeh is ubiquitous, it's really not. It's used in the Gemara in somewhat limited terms. It's limited to the context of sin, of Avera. And it's only in later Svarim, Midrashim and later, that you find what you and I refer to more likely in the colloquial term as Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh Bazeh. Now, we know that this applies halachically as well. And this is where I'm going to end this week. Next week, instead of trying to rush things, I'm going to do what we do this week. And the next week, I'm going to do a part B to this sugya, so that we don't try to throw in too much at once. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has the following conversation. The following conversation says that because you guys know I get hangry, and therefore on Shabbos mornings, I cannot wait until we start our meal at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which is an ungodly time to start a meal. Everyone should be davening Hashkama and eating a little bit earlier, but for those of us who can't, so I get very hangry. You guys know that about me. We talk about that a lot in this shir. Right? So what do? I make Kiddush. I go after Shacharis. I go into the kitchen when we're in Shul. I make Kiddush. I have a quick mezainis. And then I come back and do my rabbinic responsibilities. So I've already fulfilled my mitzvah of Kiddush. What happens? I come home and my wife says, Philip, can you make Kiddush for me? So I have a problem. I already fulfilled my mitzvah. What allows me to do that for my wife? What allows me, if Simon Mirsky blows shofar for me? We'll see, Kiddush probably wasn't the best example, but, right, from the Gemara, but what Simon Mirsky blows shofar for us in Shul. And then he goes to the nursing homes, and he blows shofar again. What gives Simon the ability to do that? Says the Gemara, Tana Ava, Bereder of Zera, Kola Brachas Kulan, Afal Pisha Yatza Motzi. I realize that Kiddush was a bad example, right? But Afal Pisha Yatza Motzi. What we refer to in Gemara terms as Yatzamotzi, which means that even though I'm Yotze, I'm still able to be Motze another person. Why does that work? Why does Yatzamotzi work? So we see this is a prime halachic concept. Says Rashi, Afalpi sheyatzamotzi, sheharei kol Yisrael arevim zebazel mitzvos. It's very simple. It's the most simplest way of understanding it, which says that you and I have arvas. Now, it doesn't really explain it, right? Rashi tells me something that I would know to be true intuitively, but he doesn't explain the mechanism of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. All Rashi tells me is what is the underlying principle that allows even someone who was Yatza, someone who fulfilled his obligation from being Motzi another person, it's because you and I are interconnected. But Rashi doesn't really explain how the mechanism works. What does Arvas do, or how does it function in a way that allows me to essentially make a bracha levatala? Because that's what's at stake here. Right? What's at stake here is bracha levatala. I made my kiddush. Again, I'm a bad example. I made shofar, right? If I go and blow a shofar again for you, so I'm saying bracha levatala. I'm saying a bracha that is not necessary. So Rashi says, no, you're allowed to do it because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Rashi doesn't explain it. He puts you on like the 5-yard line, but he doesn't take you into the end zone. So the Ritva and the Ran, actually, which makes sense, right? They take us much closer to the end zone. Look at the Ritva, source number 10. The Ritva says, Perish. Kol HaBrachos HaMitzvos, Afal Pisha Yatzimotzi. She'afal Pisha HaMitzvos Mutelas Al Kol Echad. Even though every single one of us is obligated in the mitzvah, Hare Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh V'Kulam Kiguh Echad. So number one, says the Ritva, it means that we're one body, which is a beautiful imagery, right? We're one body. And if the right hand hasn't done it, the left hand hasn't done it. But how does that work? So explains the Ritva, Uka Arev HaPorea Chov Chaveiro. In other words, a beautiful imagery. I am like a guarantor paying off your debt. Right? Think about that imagery for a second. I am a guarantor paying off your debt. It means that even though I fulfilled my mitzvah, if you have not, so I am able to pay off your debt on behalf of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not a bracha levatala for me, because I'm doing it on your behalf. right? I am your guarantor. I am obligated for what you do. And so long as you have not done the mitzvah, I therefore have an obligation to do the mitzvah on your behalf. Yatza motzi. Even though I have already fulfilled it, I can nonetheless be motzi for you. Why? How does it work? Because kulon kaguv echad. Uchare v'aporev chov chavero. Beautiful, beautiful imagery of the Rifa. Right? That I am the guarantor that I have to pay off your debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ran, I think, is the most beautiful out of all of them. Because the Ran is clearly troubled by your exact same thing. And the Ran wants to know, what about Bracha Levatala? Says the Ran, Sherei Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeva Zeba Mitzvos, V'kevan Shelo Yatza Chaveiro, as long as Reuven has not fulfilled his mitzvah, Kimi Shelo Yatza Hudami. It's as if I have not fulfilled my mitzvah as well. That's wild. That's wild. Again, I think you and I might have said that intuitively, but I'm not sure that you and I would have said that halachically, or had the guts to say that halachically. And what essentially the Ran says is that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh V'Zeh means that as long as you have not fulfilled your mitzvah, I haven't filled my mitzvah either, right? What does it mean that I bear responsibility for you? It means that even though I've taken care of myself, that is not enough. I have to take care of you as well. And if I haven't taken care of you as well, then my job is incomplete. So what about a bracha levatala? No, says the Ran, it's not a problem of bracha levatala. Because even if I've done the mitzvah, I've only done it 99%. But because you have not done that mitzvah, there's 1% of it, it's as if I haven't done it as well. And so therefore, there's no problem of a bracha levatala as all. That is a whopper of a chiddush of the Ran, in my mind, right? Rashi, again, gave us like the overarching playbook. Rashi told us, why does yatza motzi work? The Ran gives us really the mechanism for how it works. How does yatza motzi work? I haven't really fulfilled my mitzvah. So long as you have not fulfilled your mitzvah, neither have I. Now, obviously, each one of these can be applied to various other aspects of our religious experience. Let's take Kiruv, right? Let's take Kiruv, outreach, in its most basic form. So, again, obviously the sin, right, the way it's used in the Gemara, is a very powerful imagery, right? It means that so long as there's a Jew in this world that isn't inspired to Judaism, so I bear that responsibility. I am at fault for it, right? Your sins are my sins. We then try to understand, how does that work a little bit, right? And how does it come to the positive side? Or what's the mechanism for how it works? So we saw, there's that boat imagery. And as long as there are Jews in the world that aren't observant, so part there's a hole in the boat, right? The boat's taken on water. And to think that I'm safe in my bubble of Montoya Circle in Boca Raton, Florida, that's not what it means to be a Jew. It means that if we're taken on water in other parts of the world or in other segments of the community, so I bear that responsibility. Right? I bear that responsibility. But even if you look in the halachic sense, so I think this comment of the Ritva in the Ran is absolutely gorgeous. Because what does the Ritva tell us? Ucha arev haporev chov chavero. Right? I pay your debt. I am the guarantor. I am responsible for you. And it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into the world. And he says, Moskowitz, you're the lucky one because you had a Jewish education your entire childhood and you get to be osek, involved in Avodas Hashem constantly, right? By teaching Torah, learning Torah, whatever the case might be. But don't think that the bank doesn't have a lien on your house because you're the guarantor for that Jew who didn't have the upbringing. You're responsible for that Jew. In the same way, if I'm a guarantor, right, you put me as a guarantor on your business, and your business goes under, the bank's coming to me. And I can't say to the bank, not my problem, Reuven was just a terrible businessman. The bank's going to say, yeah, you're the guarantor, and therefore you're responsible to pay back Reuven's debt. That's, as the Ritva, what it means to be a Jew. Again, thinking in outreach terms, right? That's what it means to be a Jew. What it means to be a Jew in halachic terms even is that I have to pay your debt, which means that if there are Jews in the world that aren't inspired, I bear that responsibility. The Ran is even more gorgeous. Because what the Ran means is that so long as you have not fulfilled your mitzvah, I have not fulfilled my mitzvah as well. Which means my pathway to Kedusha, my pathway to holiness, my pathway to Shleimus can never be complete, will not be complete, as long as you're not along for the ride. But if you're not fulfilling the mitzvos, kevan shelo yatza chaveiro, if you're not doing it, kimi shelo yatza hudami, it's as if I'm not doing it as well. So what the Ran uses in halachic terms to understand yatza motzi applies to kirov as well in a beautiful, beautiful way. That's what I wanted to cover for this week in terms of our topic of kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. Number one is to show us this idea of the evolution of kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. And this, in other words, this notion, how it evolves in the Gemara in almost an counterintuitive way, and how we get to the point where we have nowadays of the ubiquitous nature of kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. What I want to discuss next week is an outgrowth of that. And that is chata, right? Can I sin? Or do I have an obligation to sin? Kedei sheyizka chavercha. To create a zchus for you, right? In other words, so that you can gain. In other words, how far do we take this topic of kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh? Right? Up until now, we've seen in the context of sin, which means that if you sin, I bear that responsibility. We've seen in the context of mitzvos, right? That if you do a mitzvah, so I kind of get the credit for that. That was the Sefer HaBris, okay? But what if I take that to the next level, right? If you and I are really all in the boat together, if you and I are really arevim zeh bazeh, so do I have an obligation to sin to prevent you from sinning? Do I have an obligation to sin to prevent you from coming to do something bad as well? And we'll see that that's an entire sugya in and of itself, which I don't want to rush it here, but it appears in the Gemara Shabbos, for those who did Daf Yomi, we did it a number of days ago, about 45 days ago, all the way at the beginning of Masechah Shabbos, and it's the sugya v'rdias apas, right? If I see that you're going to violate Nisr Deraisa, can I violate Nisr Derabanan to prevent you from doing the Nisr Deraisa? Do I have an obligation to do that as part of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh Bazeh? Yes, it'll be a demarcation in my book, but it'll prevent you from a far worse avera. Do I have an obligation to do that? So that's what we're going to cover next week. But obviously this notion of Kol Yisrael Reim of Zebazeh, why are we talking about it now? We're talking about it because as we enter into Shavuos and we come to the whole idea of Ki Shechad Belev Echad, this notion of one people, so it behooves us to understand. What does it mean that we're one people? How did Chazal interpret and understand that notion of peoplehood? And most importantly, to what extent do we take that? What does it obligate us in? What does it not obligate us in? That is what you and I will cover next week as